Please turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 24, verse 24, where we left off at the end of chapter 24, but just as a little lead-in. Last week we saw that Paul went on trial before Felix, and the high priest again is the high priesthood, and probably the Sanhedrin, the rulers of the Jews, came, and they're wanting Felix to kill Paul. And Felix wouldn't go along with him. And so then we're going to see that Paul now has more Romans coming on the scene to question him. But chapter 24, verse 24, after some days, after the original trial where Felix did not turn Paul over to the Jews to be killed, didn't sentence Paul to death as they wished, after some days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith of Christ. And I gave you the family tree of Herod. And this is really, if you read in the Bible, it's hard to keep track of which Herod. You know, there's Herod the Great. Herod the Great is the one that killed all the babies, all the children 2 years and younger in Bethlehem, because he was afraid that the king of the Jews had truly been born. And he didn't want any king of the Jews to mess with this family tree. See, he had sons, and he was old. He didn't want anybody to mess with him, and he didn't want anybody to mess with his dynasty of the Herods. And so that's why he murdered all the children, as the scriptures say. Well, Herod the Great did have 4 children, and it was Aristobulus that had Herod Agrippa the First, looking at this family tree. And Herod Agrippa the First is the one who did what? What's his claim to fame? Herod Agrippa I was the one that, and actually I should back up and say, Aristobulus didn't do much in the time of Jesus, but Herod Antipas did. Herod Antipas is the one that was involved with the trial of Jesus. So it was Herod Antipas who was part of the crucifixion of Jesus, that Jesus went and was tried before Herod. But the uncle of Herod Agrippa was Herod Antipas. The nephew was Herod Agrippa the First, who was the son of Aristobulus. And his claim to fame was that he killed James, the apostle, arrested Peter, and was going to kill Peter. But remember in Acts chapter 12 13 that he was let out of jail. I mean, by the angels came and busted Peter out of jail. And then shortly after that, Herod Agrippa the First went up to Caesarea, and the people said, "Oh, you're speaking like the, you know, it's like the words of God and not of man." And he accepted the accolades of being worshipped as God, and God diseased him with worms and ate him up, killed him. So, and this is important for our study today, is this history has happened. You know, many years earlier, this is what happened. So Herod Agrippa the First has a son, Herod Agrippa the Second. And he has 2 daughters, Bernice and Drusilla. So Drusilla, the wife of Felix, is related to Herod Agrippa the Second, who's going to be coming. Herod Agrippa the Second had another sister named Bernice, who's going to be part of our study today. And after going through 4 husbands, she ends up, according to extra biblical history, she went through husbands and got dissatisfied, so she went and stayed a long time with Herod Agrippa II, and the rumor in ancient history is that they were living in an incestuous relationship as brother and sister at the time that she's coming with Herod Agrippa II to try Paul, to also hear Paul, as we're going to see in our study today. So in other words, Paul is dealing with Felix, and now looking at the next verse here, it says, "Now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, 'Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you.'" And as we closed in our study last week, Paul was rebuking him because Felix had taken Drusilla to be his wife, and Drusilla, he stole them from another guy. So he had basically committed adultery, and Paul would have said, you know, God has 10 commandments, thou shalt not commit adultery. And in your Herod family, you're partly Jewish, you know, some of their Jewishness. Herod the Great considered himself Jew. He had some Jewish blood in him. And this is what the Word of God says. And so he was rebuking Felix, a guy who had the ability to put him to death. Well, this is what, you can even get this off of Wikipedia because it's in Josephus. Felix was called back to Rome because around this time, around the time that he's having this trial with Paul, there was a ruckus between the Jews and the Syrians that live in Caesarea, and the way that he handled it is he slaughtered a bunch of them. And so he just, like typical Roman thing, I'll just go kill them. And so he went to Rome. Felix was accused, this is in Wikipedia, which it comes from Josephus. Felix was accused of using a dispute between the Jews and the Syrians of Caesarea as a pretext to slay and plunder the inhabitants. But through the intercession of his brother, the freedman Pallas, who had great influence with the emperor Nero, and see, it's right now Nero is Caesar in Rome when this is going on. And Nero is the one that ends up beheading Paul later on. He escaped unpunished, and Festus succeeded him as procurator of Judea. So we're going to find out that right now Felix ends in this part of Acts right here. This is the last we hear is Felix hears the gospel and he says, oh man, go away. You're scaring me. You're scaring me. I'm going to have to answer to God. And as I emphasized last week, it is okay for us to tell people, you know what? If you don't repent, you're going to go to hell. You are rebelling against God, because apparently that's what he did, because he was fearful. You're going to answer to the God who created us. And you can't get away with this. You need to repent. Meanwhile, he also hoped that money would be given to him by Paul. All he cared about was his life, that he might release him. Therefore, he sent for him more often and conversed with him. So conversation after conversation with Paul, and you can just about bet Paul wasn't talking much about anything except the gospel of Jesus Christ. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus succeeded Felix, and Felix, wanting to do the Jews a favor, left Paul bound. So for 2 years, Paul's in jail in Caesarea, not able to evangelize, not able to wear out moccasins going all over Macedonia and Asia like he had been doing. He's just sitting there trusting God because God has told him, you're going to go to Rome someday. And so right about this time, Nero comes, calls Felix home. What are you doing causing the slaughtering of stuff? And then some people intercede so he doesn't get killed or whatever by Nero. And then now there's a new guy on the block, Festus. And so whenever there's new management, what are the Jews going to do? See, they tried to get Paul killed by Felix, and they go, ah, Felix isn't going to do it. He wants to just chat with Paul all the time. And so now there's a new guy on the block. Now when Festus, who replaced Felix, and it's about 60 AD, about 30 years after Jesus, had come, Jesus was crucified, had come to the province, after 3 days he went up from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Then the high priest and the chief men of the Jews informed him against Paul, and they petitioned him, asking a favor against him that he would summon him to Jerusalem while they lay in ambush along the road to kill him. Now, once again, here, what's our lesson? People who hate Jesus, who hate the gospel of Jesus Christ, you'd think they go away and they're going to mellow out. You know, Paul hasn't caused any problems for 2 years. You'd think they would forget about him. No. First chance they get a new governor in town, and they say, oh, let's come and ask him, could you please bring Paul down here because we're going to lay in wait in ambush and we're going to kill him. I mean, they didn't tell Festus that, but that was their plan. So the hatred of the gospel, unless they repent, unless they get saved, it's like it doesn't go away. You just have to realize it. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea and that he himself was going there shortly. Therefore, he said, let those who have authority among you go down with me and accuse this man to see if there is any fault in him. And when he had remained among them more than 10 days, and that's the way the King James text reads, but other texts read 8 or 10 days. Like, why does it says more than 10 days? Well, why more than 10? How many is more than 10? Could be 100. 100 days is more than 10. So why tell us more than 10? Other texts say eight to ten, about 8 to 10 days. He went down to Caesarea. And now what do you think happened during those 8 to 10 days? Don't know, but what's a good guess? You know, he stayed with them, and when he had remained among them, who's he remaining among? The Jews. What are they doing for 8 to 10 days? Oh, have some wine on us, have some this. You know, that Paul, you just got to go kill that Paul. I mean, the whole mission that they're coming to him is they want to get rid of Paul. And the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, he commanded Paul to be brought. And the judgment seat in the Greek, it's bema seat. And this is not just a chat. This is, I am sitting on the Roman throne that I am allowed to make a ruling on this case. So when Paul is being summoned and he sees the Romans sitting on the bema seat, he knows, well, this could be it. Except for God has told him he's going to Rome. So does he really have to worry? He doesn't have to worry at all. Because God himself appeared to him in a vision and said, you've testified to me in this city, of me in this city, Jerusalem, and so you're going to testify of me in Rome. Wouldn't you like to get a vision from God about what you're going to be doing, you know, 5 years from now or 10? You know, you're going to get to this place, and no matter what kind of threats are coming your way, you know you're ultimately going to get there because God himself has told you. And, by the way, has God told us that there's a place that we're guaranteed to go to? No matter what anybody does to us, we're going to heaven, right? And nothing's going to stop that. Not the devil, not the demons, not the hatred they have for us and the people that are controlled by them. Nothing is going to be able to snatch us out of the hand of our precious Savior. Isn't that exciting? When he had come, the Jews had come down from Jerusalem, stood about, and laid many serious complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. While he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, or against the temple, nor against Caesar, have I offended in anything at all. Now, that's pretty amazing. And one, we aren't being accused of being against the law of the Jews, or being against the temple. But let's make sure we can always say, as I've been emphasizing recently, that we're not against Caesar. You know, that we haven't been lawbreakers. That were rebel-rousing lawbreakers, except for the things that we have to obey God rather than man. Like, I'm not going to take part in a homosexual wedding. Yeah, for me, that's definitely on the wrong side of the line for me. I'm not going to stop preaching in Jesus' name. I'm not going to stop telling people the gospel. I'm not going to just be politically correct at the office about issues that God has spoken about. If somebody asks me a question, in our office, it's where we all agree, by the way. But my time in the shipyard, there were times when I was working there in the shipyard, there were times that came up about what's going to happen. What are you going to say? We can't deny the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, didn't offend with Caesar, but Festus, wanting to do the Jews a favor, answered Paul and said, are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and there be judged before me concerning these things? Wanting to do the Jews a favor. Why? Because, I mean, to me, he palled around with them for 8 to 10 days. They maybe said, man, can you just go up there and just do it? He's just one guy. You Romans killed thousands of Jews. Festus, you came here because Felix just killed a bunch of us on some riots over the way things were being dealt with up in Northern Galilee area. So why can't you just give us this guy and man, we'll be so nice. Because by the way, the Jewish revolt is starting to just brew. And if you're a Roman, if Caesar sends you to Israel, what's he sending you to do? Keep the peace. keep the taxes coming, keep the peace. I don't want to send a bunch of soldiers there. And so, Festus, if you give us Paul, we'll get rid of these people of the way. We'll get rid of them, these people and put them in fear again and subjugate them because they're rebels. They say that Jesus is God instead of Caesar. And so Festus wanted to do their bidding. In the same way, what was happening 30 years ago? Same argument. We got to get rid of this Jesus, because if we get rid of this Jesus, then the Romans won't come and take away our city and our temple and our country. They'll let us, we'll be able to coexist and live together. And what are people saying today about the Christian gospel? If you Christians would just stop being so narrow-minded and saying that if you don't believe in Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that unless you believe in him, you're going to die and go to a place called the lake of fire. And that just makes Christianity just so obnoxious. And why don't you just stop saying that so that we can live at peace with the world? Just like the Jews wanted to live at peace with the Romans and make a little deal, cut a little deal with the world. And so that's, we can't do that. And if we're going to be like Paul, we're going to say, no, we're going to keep telling people the truth. If Paul says yes, if he says, you know, would you, Festus, would you be willing to go down to Jerusalem? Well, Paul already knows they tried to kill him on the, you know, when he was down there last time. So he probably knows they're going to try and assassinate me. But in Acts 23:11, turn there for a second to remind ourselves of what Jesus said. Acts 23:11 says, but the following night, when he was beaten during the day in Jerusalem, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome. So God has told Paul, you're headed to Rome. And Festus goes, I would like to head you to Jerusalem. And what? It's so easy with Paul. It's so, not going to go there. My Jesus came in a vision and said, I'm headed to Rome. And the world is always trying to set us up to go some other direction than what Jesus has told us to go. Right? I mean, what are some of the other directions Jesus has told us to go? Be holy, for I am holy. Did he tell us that? Yeah, he's told us that. The world's always trying to tell us, oh, no, you don't have to be too serious about this Christianity stuff. And, you know, go some other way. Go some other way about our relationship with him. World wants us to compromise. No. Jesus told me to go this way. I'm going to keep going the way he told me to go. So Paul said, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat. You're sitting in a judgment seat that's really been granted to you by Caesar himself, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews, I have done no wrong, as you very well know. For if I am an offender or have committed anything deserving of death, I do not object to dying. And this is really amazing, because a lot of people say, you know, Christians should be against the death penalty and everything. And that's really not what the scriptures say. And Paul is saying, if I've committed a crime that's a capital punishment crime, then kill me. But where's the crime? I haven't done a thing. Where's the evidence? Why would you basically send me to Jerusalem to get killed? Paul is basically implying, I know that your plan is to send me down there to get assassinated. But if there is nothing in these things of which these men accuse me, no one can deliver me to them. And again, implying to be killed. I appeal to Caesar. Festus, do not give in to these guys just to make your little peace with them, because I know you're in cahoots and you can't deliver me down there. I appeal to Caesar. And every Roman citizen, which Paul was back in that time, you could appeal to Caesar and you would get, you, it's just like here, you can appeal to the Supreme Court. And that's what he was doing. So it is okay, again, to use the laws of the land to try and get justice. Now, and he's appealing to Nero, who is going to be the one that ultimately kills him about 4 years later. Festus, verse 12, when he had conferred with the council, okay, you Jews, what do I do? He's a Roman citizen. He's appealed to Caesar. I'm required to do that. I know I kind of cut you a deal when we're smoking and joking down in Jerusalem. But what am I going to do? When he conferred with the council, answered, you have appealed to Caesar you shall go. And again, reading between the lines, oh, we'll kill him on the way over to Rome, or, well, can you send some dispatchers to tell Nero to get rid of this guy for us? We don't care, as long as he's gone, we don't care. So then, verse 13, and after some days, King Agrippa and Bernice, who's his sister, and also the sister of Drusilla, you know, looking again at the family tree, and extra-biblical history has it that the gossip of the town was that they were living together, came to Caesarea to greet Festus. Now, King Agrippa II, you would think, and we don't know, but you would think he would know the history of his great-grandfather. His great-grandfather was the one that killed the children of Bethlehem 2 years old. You'd think he'd know that history. We don't know. The Bible doesn't say, but you'd think he'd know that history. He would know the history of Herod Antipas. He would know that his great uncle, Herod Antipas, had taken part in the trial of Jesus. He should have known that his father killed one of those Christians. He killed one of the Christians, James, was about to kill Peter, and then gets miraculously let out of prison. He would have heard all the stories about that. And then he would have heard about Herod Agrippa shortly after. All of a sudden, he comes down with a disease. He gets eaten by worms and dies in just a short period of time. And now he has another one of these crazy Christians in front of him. That history goes way back. And he's about to sit down and be judge over him. And you would think that if he knew any of that background, he'd be thinking, man, I better be careful about this trial. When they had been there many days, Festus laid Paul's case before the king, saying, there is a certain man left a prisoner by Felix, about whom the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me when I was in Jerusalem asking for a judgment against him. To them I answered, it is not the custom of the Romans to deliver any man to death, to destruction, he said, before the accused meets the accusers face to face in his opportunity to answer for himself concerning the charge against him. Therefore, when they had come together without any delay, the next day I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought in. When the accusers stood up, they brought no accusation against him of such things as I supposed, but had some questions against him about their own religion and about a certain Jesus who had died, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. Now again, the scribes and Pharisees, they know they paid the guards of the tomb off to change their story. They know, they said, a bright light came, an angel rolled away the stone, it's rolled away and everything else. What do we do? Here's some money. Go lie to everybody in Jerusalem that his disciples came and stole him away by night. They know that. And so that's passed down these 30 years. They know that's the truth. And what they're telling Festus is they're saying that this Jesus died, but Paul asserts that he's alive, and they had all the ascension and the eyewitnesses, over 500 at one time, and all those things. And once again, when people hate our Jesus, facts mean nothing. And we see that in America today too. How many people are going by just how they feel rather than the facts on everything today? In fact, our whole culture is all based on how you feel. And that's been bred in through the educational system and the social engineering that they've been doing to our children's minds. And that's why the head of the Family Policy Institute here in Washington, go on a college campus in Washington, you know, just across the pond there, over at University of Washington, wherever he was. And, you know, I think that I'm actually a black person. Is that okay with you? Yeah, if you feel black, you're okay. He's a white guy. And they finally struggled. He's like 5'8 or 9 or something. And they finally struggled. Oh, I feel like I'm a 6'4 or 5, whatever he said. Now wait a second. You know, that they had a little problem with. You know, at what limit? I feel like a ten foot giant. Oh, well, maybe you shouldn't feel that way. Our society has become so deceived, the truth means nothing to so many people, which is why it's so hard for us to share the gospel of truth with people to the point where they can receive it. And even if they let it come in, it's, well, what do they say? Well, I'm glad you feel that way for you. I'm glad that's how it works for you. But I have this truth. I have a truth that doesn't match up with the facts of the world and history and everything else. And well, they were the same way back then. These people came and brought this accusation, and Paul just was telling the truth, and they couldn't handle it. And because I was uncertain of such questions. I asked whether he was willing to go to Jerusalem and there be judged concerning these matters. But when Paul appealed to be reserved for the decision of Augustus, now Augustus means what is venerable. So it's there was an Augustus Caesar, that was his name, but this is Nero. So I'm going to send him to Nero, who went by the title Augustus. I commanded him to be kept till I could send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa said to Festus, I would also like to hear the man myself. Tomorrow, he said, you shall hear him. So the next day, when Agrippa and Bernice had come with great pomp, because he's superior to Festus, he is like the, and by the way, when Agrippa dies, that's the end of the Herod line. Remember on Sunday we talked about how 19 successive kings of David, downstream of Solomon, keeping together, and how long does Herod the Great's reign go? It's, the Herodian dynasty, it's short. I did emphasize this in a way, but how improbable it is. And actually, if you look at the Herod family, there was intrigue of trying to kill off relatives even in this short period of time to establish thrones and power. It would be like having 19 descendants of, like I said on Sunday, the Bushes or the Clintons. How impossible it would seem to just keep, well, that's what it was. In the lineage to Jesus, it was this line. So, and Festus said, King Agrippa and all the men who are present with us, you see this man about whom the whole assembly of the Jews petitioned me, both at Jerusalem and here, crying out that he was not fit to live any longer. Again, just not fit to live. That's how the world thinks about us. But when I found that he had committed nothing deserving of death and that he himself had appealed to Augustus, I decided to send him. I have nothing certain to write to my Lord, being Caesar Nero, concerning him. Therefore, I have brought him out before you, and especially before you, King Agrippa, so that after the examination has taken place, I might have something to write. It seems to me unreasonable to send a prisoner and not to specify the charge against him. So great pomp and circumstance. He lays down the red carpet for Agrippa. Pomp and circumstance. You're so great. Your sister's so great. Everything's so wonderful. You're my boss. And I don't want to send this guy to Caesar without your great wisdom being applied to the letter that is going to go and send this guy off to Caesar. And so it's the Roman worldly way of schmoozing each other. And Paul is now, we're going to find out next week when we, next our next study, we'll see Paul sees this as, praise God, I get another opportunity to talk to a Herod. For having the Herod family once again get faced with the gospel of Jesus Christ they've been dealing with for 60 years, going back to Herod the Great when Jesus was born. And so we should always look at it as a great opportunity also whenever we're in front of anybody, even if they're hostile, if they'll give us the time to listen to the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, who came into the world to save sinners, of which we all are. Amen? So let's pray. Father, we thank you for Paul and his boldness, and we thank you for history, Lord, that we can just so learn and see that truly sinful man keeps repeating sinful history. And Lord, help us, should persecution come to this country like our brothers and sisters in China are experiencing unprecedented persecution right now, when for so many years the Chinese turned a blind eye to Bibles coming in, that at least to the point of arresting and jailing people, that Lord, you would prepare our hearts to be equipped, God, for times of persecution that are certainly coming, that we would keep preaching the truth until the day you call us home. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus is my Lord, my Master and Savior. Jesus is my Lord, my Master and Savior. Jesus is my Lord, my Master and Savior. Now and forevermore, hallelujah. Now and forevermore. We'll praise you, Jesus, Son of God, and the blood of the Lamb. King of kings and Lord of lords, God of Abraham, hallelujah, God of Abraham. Jesus is the one who delivers me daily. Jesus is the one who delivers me daily. Jesus is the one who delivers me daily from my sin and shame. Hallelujah, from my sin and shame. We'll praise you, Jesus, Son of God, and the blood of the Lamb. King of kings and Lord of lords, God of Abraham. Hallelujah, God of Abraham. We'll praise you, Jesus, Son of God, and the blood of the Lamb. King of kings and Lord of lords, God of Abraham. Hallelujah, God of Abraham.
He came and he's coming back again as king. I can't wait, but we have to. And but it's a good time to remember that when we remember his first coming. So God bless you and your kids. Remember, Jesus is the reason, right?